Well, good morning.
Morning.
I don't believe it. Harris has got the sun. It's been leaking since I got here. And it's lovely to wake up and feel the sun and the heat. And it's lovely to come here and praise the Lord with you as we come and rejoice in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's absolutely beautiful just to come and to glorify the Lord together. We're going to remain seated to sing our very first psalm, which is Psalm 23, verses 1 and 3. And this psalm has brought comfort to many, many people. And every time I read this psalm, I think about when my mum passed away. I was in Wishaw General Hospital, and we were staying with my mum every night. And then one day I took off to go and see my kids, and in the morning, and I held my mum's hand. I just went into the hospital, held my mum's hand, got down my knees with my brother and my sister, and I read Psalm 23, and then I prayed for her. Then about a dozen breaths later, she passed away. And so every time I read or sing Psalm 23, it reminds me of that special moment with my mum. But isn't it wonderful? There could be another special moment. The Lord is my shepherd. And when you get to know not just the psalm, but get to know who the psalm is talking about, that you can know God is your shepherd. Hallelujah, what a difference that makes in your life. So let's remain seated as we sing verse 1 and 3 of Psalm 23. Thank you. Let's come before God in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can know you in a personal way, all because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is obedient even unto death. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son into this world to pay the price of our sins. And we want to praise you, Father, because we know that we're redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but we're redeemed because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this day where we stop and give you thanks and praise you and remind ourselves of what you went through for us upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you for communion that reminds us of the body being broken and the blood being shed. And as we come before you today, Lord, we pray for those who know you and love you. You'd help us to be encouraged and strengthened and built up in you. We pray for those who may not know you yet as their own individual Saviour. We thank you there's room at the feet of Jesus. And we pray that some soul would come and surrender their life to Christ this day. We thank you have told us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you for those who have called in the name upon Jesus, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we pray that today, Lord, that you would come, that you would speak in this service, because we know that man cannot even create an anxious thought. So, Lord, we're asking through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak, Lord, that you would work in hearts, that whereas people were maybe rebelling against you, rebelling against your word, rebelling against your commands, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would melt hearts today, that people would cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, what must I do to be saved? We pray for those who may be believers and maybe struggling in their life. We pray that today would be a great day where they come and know a fresh touch of the Master upon their lives. Have your way in and through this day, Father. We thank you for all the young people here. Thank you for the amount of young people that come to this church. And I pray in Jesus' precious name that they'll know you very early on in their life. And they'll grow up to be young men and young ladies who know and love and walk with you. So, Father, glorify Jesus. Exalt Christ in this service. And may we leave saying it was good to dwell in the house of the Lord. To verse 8. Romans 12, verses 1 to verse 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many from one body, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. Let's just come before the Lord in a word of prayer before we turn to his word. Open up our eyes, Lord, that we may see wonderful things in your law. Come and help us this morning, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to listen to what you're saying to us this morning, not what man says, because that will do nothing for us. But I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak into every person in this meeting this morning, that they would feel that they're the only person here. Father, we believe that can happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we're asking in Jesus' name for freedom in the meeting. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we pray for freedom in the Spirit, that the Spirit of God would minister into souls and speak loud and clear into our lives. So much so that we'll want to change. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. I'd like to tell you about a man who lives in Drumchapel. I used to be the Baptist minister in Drumchapel. Drumchapel is a big house estate in Glasgow. And we went there many years ago, and it used to get broken into quite regular. And we had wee windows about this, about that, and they'd smash the window, they'd send a wee fella in the window, and then he'd go and open up the fire door. And we knew who it was that was doing this. It was a man called, his nickname was Psycho. So you can work the rest out for yourself. And Psycho used to break into the church. He would steal things. He got up to no good. And one of the times he'd get in, they had nothing to steal, and he'd get gloss paint, and they threw it all over the walls and all over the carpet. And there was a wee lady who lived in the flat next to the church. And I says, if you see him coming and vandalising the church, give me a phone and I'll come up and catch him. So anyway, the wee lady phoned me. And I drives up to church and Psycho knew my car, so he jumps off the roof and he started running up the back where the woods are, and I never ran after him. All I started to do is shout at him, and I shouted, Jesus loves you! Jesus loves you! Jesus loves you! As he was running away, I was shouting louder and left it at that. Then I was out visiting one day and I visited his girlfriend's mum, who's called Dan. And Anne was saying, oh, this is the way she says, oh, you done in Psycho's head. I says, sorry. She says, you done in Psycho's head. I says, what do you mean? He says, he was vandalising the church and the minister shouting, Jesus loves you. He couldn't cope with that. He couldn't cope with it. Cut long story short, Psycho became a great friend. His name's Mark. I didn't like calling him Psycho. And we got him to cut the grass. We got him to paint the railings. The lawnmower broke down and he stripped it and rebuilt it. And he became a great friend. In fact, I actually signed his passport for him. And we became really, really good friends. And why did that happen? I believe it happened because he never experienced wrath when he was doing things wrong. We showed him the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We showed him how much God loved him. Because we got to know him, we got to know some of the things that was going on in his life. And he needed to experience love. And he's still a friend today. Here we are, and we're at Communion Sunday. And we don't deserve this. But God shouts, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And Psycho hearing that, Mark hearing that, touched him and made him think about things completely different. And he never vandalised the church again. That all stopped. And just to encourage you, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. when he threw gloss paint all over the carpet. It was done anyway. Somebody gave us a gift of £2,000 to buy new carpets. We recarpeted the whole church with the tax back. So hallelujah for the gloss paint. Because the carpets were wrecked and ruined. But we all got new carpets. But what I'm saying to you is, today, and you've maybe heard it time and time again, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And don't let that be like water off a duck's back. Because so often we can hear it, and it means nothing. It means nothing to us. But yet, as we come to this communion table, it reminds us it didn't mean nothing to God for us to be able to say that. Because God sent His Son into this world that we can experience the mercy and the forgiveness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, my dad was a keep fit instructor. He was a black belt sitting down at judo, and he did a bit of boxing as well and some other stuff. And he used to run keep fit classes in Oban. And one time there was this lady who was a bit like myself, liked the chocolate, and she had a few extra pounds on. And she shouts to my dad, "Bill! Bill, I'm going to come to your class one day when I lose some weight." And my dad's response was, "No, just come the way you are, because that's my job." And then what my dad says to me, "Gordon, that's what I'm saying to God. I'm trying to tidy up my life and then come to God. But yet God says, just come the way you are." I says, "Dad, you're spot on." And my dad died a believer who's trusting Christ. And I'd like to say today, before we go any further, just come. Just come the way you are. Because God is looking for sinners, not self-righteous people, but people who know they're wrong, people who know they've blown it, people who know they're not worthy. And praise God, there's mercy with God. And if we are here and we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, I know there's a build-up to communion. As you build up to the Sunday today, you build up to having this service. Our life should be lived in a way that we can have communion any day. That we should be walking and talking and living for God. And what do I mean by that? I was telling David about a man in Glasgow, and there was big difficulties in his life, the way that he was behaving. His behaviour was terrible. He was a believer, and he was behaving terrible. And he got found out, and we had to chat to him, and he says, "I feel I can live this way, but as long as I come to communion and sit at the table, everything's okay." Well, that's not true. You can't live whatever way you want and then come to the communion and say, "As long as I take communion, everything's okay." Now, I believe God is looking for us to truly worship Him. In verse 1 it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." I believe if we are believers, if we are children of God, it's not like, remember in the Woolworths, the shop Woolworths, or you get them, still get them if you go to different shops, you get all these different sweeties, and you just go along with your bag and your shovel, and you shovel in what sweets you want, the pick and mix. I think some people treat the Bible like that, pick and mix. I like that verse, but I definitely don't like that verse, "Deny yourself and pick up your cross." I love that verse, that God is full of mercy, but I don't like that verse where I have to love my enemies. And some people treat the Bible like a pick and mix. But I believe if we want to truly worship God, we have to make sure that we worship God with what comes out our lips. Because people can see what way we speak. And we want to be people who are living for God. We can't say we're children of God, but yet we speak like someone of the world. We can't say that we are believers, but yet our behavior, our conversation, our jokes behave like the world. We want to make sure that what comes out of our mouth comes from a heart that is hungry and got a desire for God. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. We want to be people who folk can see by the way that we speak that we belong to Jesus. By the way that we speak that we are the children of God. The way that what comes out our mouth, the way we communicate with each other. Because it is so sad when you hear Christians gossiping, when you hear Christians backbiting, when you hear Christians ridiculing other Christians, if our heart is right with God, what comes out of our mouth will be right as well. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he says, "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." These people honour me with their lips, but their heart are far from me. They worship me in vain. If we're here and we say we belong to the Lord, people should see by your communication that we belong to the Lord. When I was a wee boy, brought up in Muirhouse, big house the estate in Motherwell, I lived in a block of flats with, I don't know, say 20 houses in this block of flats. And in that block, my name's Gordon Thompson, and we lived three up, first on the left, but three on the right was another Thompson. And I knew, even as a wee boy, that the other Thompson family were different. They were different from us. My mum was an alcoholic, my dad was away doing his own thing, my parents were divorced, and we had big struggles in the house. But they were completely different. There was a difference with them. They never had a TV, they had a piano. The ladies, the daughters, they had long hair and long skirts and good looking. Nothing up in my sight. They were beautiful looking women. And the family were just nice, very nice people. And I knew as a wee boy, as an 8-year-old, there's something different about them in my home. And there's something different about them and everybody that lived in the block. You know what the difference was? They were Christians. I found out later on when I became a Christian. They were Christians. And they didn't need to say anything. I could see by looking at them, they're different. And friends, if we're children of God in here, we should be different. When I say different, I don't mean weirdo. I mean someone where folk can see there's a love in your heart. There's a love in your heart for God. And if you love God, you'll love people. You know William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, when he died, do you know what the tramps in London says? Who's going to love us now? Who's going to love us now? And if we're Christians, people should see that the way we speak, they should hear by the way we speak that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Robert Murray McShane, the man who was mightily used of God in Dundee, somebody once asked him, "What is your congregation's greatest need?" That's what they asked the minister, the Free Church minister in Dundee. "What is your congregation's greatest need?" Now they were expecting to think, "Oh, see we Jean, she needs to meet with the Lord." Or see we Jordy, he needs to meet with the Lord. Know what he says? My congregation's greatest need is to see my personal holiness. My congregation's greatest need is to see my personal holiness. And friends, know what Harris needs? To see your personal holiness. Know what your neighbour needs? To see your personal holiness. Know what people in your family need to see? Your personal holiness. We need to worship God with what comes out our mouth that people can see we belong to the Lord. But not only that, I believe we need to worship the Lord with our life. People should see in our life that we belong to the family of God. In Psalm 24 it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol." I believe if we want to be right with God, we need to make sure what comes out our lips, what comes out our mouth, but our life. People should see with our life the way I treat you, the way you treat me. People should see the way you deal with people. People should see that you are a child of God by the way that you react, the way you behave, the way you conduct yourself, whether it be out shopping or whether it be dealing with people. There's nothing more off-putting in the gospel than hearing about Christians fighting with people. There's nothing more off-putting about Christianity about hearing about bad behaviour in amongst Christians. If you want God to use you, if you want God to be real in your life, we need to ask ourselves and look at the spiritual mirror and say, is my life living for the glory of God? If I had to die tonight, would I be pleased by the way I'm living? Now, I know there's many people with struggles, because I struggled for years. And I pretended for years that I was doing okay. I pretended everything was fine, but my hands were not clean and my heart was not pure. And the things that came out of my mouth wasn't right, because my heart wasn't right. And here we are coming before the Lord's table, and isn't it wonderful that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of our sins. And what do we need today? We need men and women who love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. We need people who have got clean hands and a pure heart. I just simply think clean hands, I think that speaks about outward purity. That you can see the things that I'm doing, the way I behave, the way I deal with things. That's outward purity. A clean heart, that speaks about inward purity. What's going on in my heart? What's going on in my thoughts? What's going on inwardly? And sometimes the inward battle is greater struggle than the outward battle. Because it's easy, I've been staying with David and his lovely wife over there, and I had a brilliant time, and it's easy for me to pretend and, "Hello, David. Good morning, Mary." It's easy. That's easy. Right? But in there, I could be living like a demon, like the devil, with thoughts, evil thoughts, ungodly thoughts. That's what I'm saying. God wants to change us. And God can change us. I don't know if you know my testimony, but when I was at the Baptist Theological College, in my second year, just heading into my third year, I was heading to be assistant minister in my third and fourth year in Airdrie Baptist. And at 7:50 one Sunday morning, I got a phone call from my dad. My wee brother was out the night before, and he got murdered with his friend. His friend murdered him about 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. And I got a phone call at about 7:50 on the Sunday morning. John is lying up in the law hospital in the morgue. He was murdered last night. And here I'm at Bible College, learning to tell people about the love of Jesus. And how do you think I felt? I used to sit in that lecture room with tears running down my face. I used to get into the library with tears running down my face. And you know something, I'll be honest with you. If you want God to use you, you need to be real. I used to sit and I used to think, I would love to murder him. And I'm not joking. And I'm at a Bible college. And when I was living in Motherwell and driving from Motherwell to Airdrie, to where I became assistant minister, I used to visualise the man crossing the road, because it was in where it happened. I used to drive by it, where the man used to live, where he battered John. I used to drive by it, and I visualised in my mind, I'm crossing the road. And when he crossed the road in my mind, I even speeded up my car, and I dreamt I knocked him down. And I not only knocked him down in my mind, I ran over him. I went into reverse, ran over him. And I was heading towards a prayer meeting. Do you think God would use me? And what I'm saying is, the battle of the mind is massive. Your thought life is massive. And we need to control it if we want God to use us. And I knew that I was drifting. Even though I was at Bible college, I was drifting from God. I was drifting from God because of my behaviour. It was taking me further away from God. And then I went down to the graveyard. And I get down on my knees where my wee brother's buried. And I cried my eyes out. I wept and wept and cried. And I prayed, God, please take away this hatred. Take away this evil in my heart. Because the man's not only killed John, but he's also killing me. Please help me. And I was in a flood of tears. And I want to tell you, God done something. Because I started to pray for him. And I started to pray for his partner, his girl. And I started to pray for his wee girl. He had a wee girl as well. And I prayed for them, that God would save them. Now my heart was full of bitterness. And without getting into too long a story, it wasn't that long after I met him, because the case was a disaster. And I met him, and went up, and I put out my hand, and I says, Gable, I forgive you for what you've done to John. I says, you know I'm a Christian. I says, and you need God's forgiveness. Now, I couldn't do that. Because I wanted to kill him. But God done something in my heart. And I still pray for him today. Now why am I telling you that story? Because we need to be people who are genuinely want to worship God with our life. And there's a price tag. There's a price tag. Because there may be something going on in your life. And sometimes it could be the wee things. And maybe you're holding on to bitterness. And maybe you're holding on to something. And yet it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that's clean hands and a pure heart. And the closer we want to get to God, the more dirty we feel. And maybe this morning, as we come round the table, there's something in your heart that you need to come and confess to God. And ask God to deal with it. You know, in Drumchapel, we had a man who used to lead the worship, Mark Cameron. And the service started at 11 o'clock. And one Sunday morning, I was looking for Mark to start the service and I couldn't find him. He's nowhere to be found. I was like, where's Mark? Where's Mark? Mark would actually played the guitar. And his wife sang and my wife played the keyboard. And couldn't find him anywhere. And somebody says, well, actually, I went to this wee Sunday school room, opened up the Sunday school room, and who's in there but Mark and his wife? And they were praying together. And do you know why they were praying? Because from their house to the church, they fell out in the car. They had an argument in the car. And Mark felt, I can't go up and lead worship and be disjointed with my wife. And they went in and they prayed that the Lord would bless them. I thought, oh, take your time. Service can start late. Isn't that amazing? That they fell out in the car and Mark didn't want to go up and start worship when he was disjointed to his wife. We had a great morning. Nothing to do with my preaching, but we had a great morning. And what we're saying is, would you love to see God move in Harris? Would you love to see the Spirit of God move in Harris? There's a price tag. And sometimes we need to go up and ask somebody to forgive us. Or sometimes we need to forgive someone. Because if you want God to move in your life, we need to be real. We need to be real. And I believe if we be real, that we'll watch what comes out of our mouth. We want to worship the Lord. We'll watch the way we live because we want to worship the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And you know something? It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It is so easy not to love your enemies. Isn't it easy to love people who are easy to love? It's easy to love them. But God has got some difficult people. Sometimes in church there's just difficult people. And God says, I want you to love them. And when you love them, God is working in your heart. Because sometimes everybody's not easy to love. Sometimes people can be a wee bit harder. It takes a wee bit more energy and input to love them. But if you're real, if you want God to do something in your life, you'll pay the price and go through with God. And I believe if we truly want to worship the Lord, we need to watch what comes out our lips. We need to watch with our life. And thirdly and finally, we need to watch our love. In Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. And God's saying he wants all of us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And isn't it great? It's wonderful. I've been really blessed seeing all the young people at this church. You are really blessed here, honestly. I go to churches and they're starved of young people. There's nobody. And you've got loads of kids, which is absolutely wonderful. It's great to see it. But isn't it wonderful that God isn't finished with any of us here? Nobody retires in the work of God. And God is wanting your life. God is wanting your life, and he wants to use you for the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter how old you are. God wants to do something in your life. I had the privilege of meeting a lady near Falkirk just a few weeks ago. She prays for us. I'd never met her before in my life, but she gets the Faith Mission news. She gets her prayer diary. She prays for me every day. And cut a long story short, somebody sent her my wee testimony book. My phone number's in the back. So she phones me. And she says, Gordon, I just want you to know, she's 94. She says, I pray for you every day. I come before the Lord for you. And she's praying for these meetings. And she says, I'd love to meet you. Ah, she says, oh, I was really touched. She says, I'd love to meet you. And then I went over and visited this 94-year-old. My. Was I encouraged. She really touched my heart. She was on fire for God. Absolutely wonderful. Don't get caught up with this modern preaching where they're afraid to tell folk about heaven and hell. Don't get caught up with not telling people they need to repent, put their trust in Christ. We're too watery nowadays. This 94-year-old's listening all fired up. I was sitting there and just loved it. And let me tell you something. She's housebound. She can't get out of the house. She says, but I meet with God in here every day. She says, and my ministry now is prayer. And I pray for it. And she could tell me my diary better myself. She could tell me where I was going and everything. I don't know until I look at my diary, right, what am I doing this week? She was amazing. 94. Touched by God. And wouldn't it be great this morning, as we come round the communion table, if you ask God to touch you afresh? Don't live in the shallow side of spirituality. go in deep, where you say, God, I want to really be surrounded by your presence in my life. And we need to worship the Lord with a love. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what it says in 1 Corinthians 13? It talks about love. And it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now imagine, take the love out, and I'll just use my name. Gordon is patient. Gordon is kind. Gordon does not envy. Gordon does not boast. Gordon is not proud. Gordon is not rude, and we'll leave it at that. But wouldn't it be good if we to live like that? And if we're here, and we're saying we're the children of God, we should be ready for communion any day. Because our lives should be lived for God's glory. And the great news is, if you're here, and you're a child of God, you're here and you're a child of God, this is our wonderful privilege to come around this table. Not because we deserve it. It's because we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We don't come in our own merits. We come because of Calvary. Because Jesus has paid the price for us upon the cross of Calvary. That's why we can sit round the communion table. Not because you're the minister, not because you're the elders, not because you're members. It's because we are in Christ Jesus. God is in our life. We've committed our life to him. And that's what gives us the privilege of sitting around this table. Now, before we finish, wouldn't it be wonderful if you're here and maybe you're a Christian, but you know in your heart there's struggles. You know in your heart maybe you've got difficulties with other people. You know what's going on in your own heart, but there could be blockages in the blessing of God in your life. There can be blockages in the blessing of God in your life. And wouldn't it be wonderful? Is because after finish, we're just going to be still for a couple of minutes and pray. If you to come and say, God, I don't want to have a blockage in my life with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to live for your glory. Or could it be maybe you're here and you've heard the gospel time and time and time and time again? But you're saying, I don't want your presence, God. I'm quite content the way I am. But God has got a gift for every single one of us. And he says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And praise God this morning, we can know forgiveness of sins and peace with God, coming to God his way. So we want to be people who worship the Lord through our lips, the way we speak, the way we communicate, the way we deal with situations. We want to be people who worship the Lord through our life, that people can see in our life that we are different, that God is in our life, that we want to live for him. And people can see through our life that the things that we love are the things that are pleasing to God. The things that we love are the things that are pleasing to God. I want to finish by telling you about a man called D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody was a man who was mightily used of God, and I love reading about D.L. Moody because D.L. Moody had reading and writing problems, and I'm dyslexic, so I really enjoy reading about D.L. Moody because even though he had all these problems, God used him in a mighty way. He was mightily used of God. And one day, D.L. Moody was walking up into a ship. He was going to this ship, and someone shouted, "Mr. Moody, Mr. Moody, the world is still to see what God can do with a man that's sold out to him. Mr. Moody, the world is still to see what God can do with a man that's sold out to him." And D.L. Moody shouted back, "By God's grace, I will be that man. By God's grace, I will be that man." I believe God is looking for people in Harris who want to be sold out to him. God is looking for people this morning that want to be sold out for him. And what's the cry of your heart this morning? What's the cry of your heart this morning? He says, "By God's grace, I will be that man." And God mightily used D.L. Moody. And God wants to use you. But what is your response this morning? Let's come and bow our heads in prayer. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. But let's just come and be still and respond in our own heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit has been saying to us, we pray that the Spirit of God will speak into our lives. So let's be still and respond in our own heart what God has been saying to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we know that you don't need us, but yet you want us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you want to use us in our lives to be instruments for your glory. And we do pray for anyone here this morning, and they know they're not a Christian, they've never came to that place where they've bowed a knee and surrendered their life to you. We know there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's only for a short time. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for anyone here today, and yet they know deep in their heart there's a blockage in coming and surrendering their life to you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you break them. We ask in the name of Jesus that you convict them. We ask in the name of Jesus you come and just bring them to the end of their self, that they would cry out to you for your grace and for your mercy and for your love. We thank you that any person being Christ, they're a brand new person. And Father, we pray for those who know you this morning. We pray if there be anything in our lives that's hindering the blessing, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray for individuals. We pray for married couples. Where there's problems, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father, to truly want to worship you, to glorify you, to exalt you. Help us to have a desire in our heart that we want to know your blessing and your anointing upon our life, that we're willing to pay the price. And Father, if there be any situation where we need to go and ask someone to forgive us, or we need to forgive someone, give us the humility to be obedient to what you're saying to us this morning.
Man, Christ Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with us.
We pray, Heavenly Father, as we sit around this table, we thank you for what it reminds us of. We thank you, reminds us of your love and your mercy towards us. We thank you that your Son was obedient even unto death. So we pray, Lord, that you come and encourage us, because we know that your Son went through the agony and the suffering of the cross so that we could experience forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come round the table reminds us of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds us the love of the Father. And it's wonderful to come around this table, because we know that we come around this table because of faith and trust and hope is in Christ. We don't come in our own righteousness, because that's like filthy rags. We come clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." Amen. This is only normal bread, but it reminds us of something very special. It reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. He was broken upon the cross of Calvary, and the bread reminds us of what happened to Jesus upon the cross. And even when we pray for the bread, it still stays bread. But Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we remind ourselves of what happened at Calvary, because we cannot become a Christian because of anything that we do, but we only become a Christian because of everything that he's accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. So let's pray for the bread. Father, we thank you that the bread reminds us of your Son and what he went through upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way that Christ was obedient to your will, willing to go to the cross, willing to pay the price of our sins. And Father, as we come before you, we thank you and praise you that as we take this bread, it reminds us of your mercy. It reminds us of your love. It reminds us of your grace and your kindness towards us. Because we take it today knowing it's not because of ourselves. It's all because of our Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the cup reminds us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. I want to tell you a story. I became a Christian in Oban, and there was a man who knew me well, Big Donnie. He's a good pal of mine. He's a big bruiser, a fella. And he knew I'd become a Christian. And one day he was winding me up, and he used to call me wee man. And he says to me, "Ah, wee man, remember you used to do this? Ah, wee man, remember you used to do that? And remind me of all the things I used to get up to that wasn't very God-glorifying." And I says, Donnie, you're right. I says, see everything you're talking about, you're right. I says, but do you know what, Donnie? It's all covered in red. It's all covered in red. He says, what do you mean, wee man? I says, it's all covered in the blood of Jesus, Donnie. I says, you remember what I used to do? I remember, but he doesn't. Because God has forgiven me. Because I've asked him to forgive me of my sins. And you know, sometimes the biggest struggle in people's lives, they know that God will forgive them, but they cannot forgive themselves. And sometimes that can be a big hindrance in a Christian's life. That they hold on to things, and yet God wants to forgive them. And not only forgive, but forget. Donnie used to remind me of stuff that I used to get up to, but I reminded him it's all covered in red. And isn't it wonderful that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of our sins, and there's forgiveness with God. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves as well. Let's pray for the cup. Father, we thank you and praise you that the blood will never, ever, ever lose its power. We thank you, you've told us, without the shed of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So we praise you, Father, that your Son came into this world. And John the Baptist cried, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And we thank you that our sins have been dealt with at Calvary. And we thank you for forgiveness of sins and peace with God, all because of the cross. And we pray, Father, may you find our hearts worshipping you, because we know that you've forgiven us, and not only forgiven, but you forgot as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I would just like to say, as we're drinking individual cups, if you don't mind, I think it'd be good, we're brothers, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. It'd be wonderful today if you hold your cup. When you take the cup, don't drink it, hold it. And then when everybody's been served, we'll take it together as a family of believers. So once you've got the cup, don't drink it straight away. Hold on to it, and then we'll drink it for us to leave with our heart's desire to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And Father, we do pray for the very one amongst us who's still outside the family and fold of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would work in their lives, that Father, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. And Father, we do ask that you would work in lives from the youngest to the oldest, that people this day would cry upon the name of the Saviour and put their hope and trust in him. We do pray for those who know you. Father, help us to live lives that glorify you, that people will see that Jesus has changed us, that Jesus has transformed us by the way that we live our lives. And Father, we pray that that will be a challenge to others to taste and see the ways of God as well. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that we leave knowing the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our lives. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.